Hello and welcome to the Positive Place podcast, your home of feel-good news. Every week, along with special guests, I will be sharing oodles of heartwarming news stories, infinite ideas of activities to get stuck into during isolation, and hopefully putting a smile on your face with a number of entertaining debates about what we're getting up to at home. Each week's podcast will focus on a different theme. From sports to art, volunteering to education, there's something for everyone. Welcome to episode one. Today we're talking all things creative. Philippa shares her tips and tricks for creating digital arts. We speak to Eleanor from Not Nottingham, and my lovely panel of URM presenters discuss what they have learned from their first week in isolation. But first, is the boredom setting in? Are you unsure of how to keep busy? Or maybe you're looking for a break from uni assignments? I spoke to friends and fellow students about what they're getting up to this week. Here are seven ideas of creative activities you could also get stuck into.
During this quarantine period, I've decided to dedicate more time to playing piano and guitar because it's something I never give myself enough time to do. And during this period, I think it's very important to improve skills, and it's a great way to break up big chunks of work we've got.
Doing music. I play the clarinet and piano, but I really enjoy doing it. So this will be a positive thing for me to do, and I'll try and learn new pieces to challenge myself, but it's mostly just to give myself something to look forward to each day.
Learn an instrument is one thing that you could do, but there's other things as well you can do, just learning songs and stuff like that if you already know how to play an instrument. And I think that's also quite a therapeutic thing. It takes your mind off things. As does painting, which is another thing that I like to do. Quite different for me, seeing as I'm a STEM student, but I've done it before, and it's quite amazing, the power of art. So I think that's a really good thing to do as well.
So one thing I'm doing to entertain myself during the isolation period is art. I'm planning to paint along to Bob Ross tutorials. I just think it will help to boost morale in the household, because I think it can get really tricky when you're not used to being around the people that you live with for 24 hours a day. And I just think like an activity that you can all do together, such as painting along to Bob Ross or painting to anything really, is just a good way to sort of get along and have a good time.
Fixing up or upcycling old clothes that I don't like to wear anymore.
I'm probably going to be doing some more things around my creative hobbies. So I'm an avid photographer. I've been meaning to sort of set up a website for a while, just to have a place to display my images, really. I've got loads of film I need to develop, so I might be doing that. But if you've got any creative hobbies, now's a really good time to sort of take a step back and think about what you want to do. Like, you don't have to feel guilty for staying at home, because you're actually doing the right thing rather than just sitting at home and doing nothing. Like, now's the time to do nothing, but use this nothing time to do something productive.
Focusing on learning how to cook. So this year I was in catered halls, which meant that I didn't need to cook, and I was basically eating potato every day. But I'm looking forward to year two, where I'll get a chance to cook myself, cook the food that I want to eat when I want to eat it. And I think I'm just going to try and nag my grandma and my mum for recipes, and all my aunts, and we'll do a whole like Skype cooking session. That's soon to come.
For our first interview of the series, Philippa spoke to Eleanor from Knit Nottingham all about how knitting is helping her to keep busy during isolation and how beginners can start the craft.
We're here with Eleanor from Knit Nottingham, which is a shop in Nottingham which sells knitting products. So Eleanor, tell us, you run Knit Nottingham, how can people still buy stuff from you during this lockdown?
We are selling online, as we always do, so that's through knitnottingham.co.uk, but there's a significant proportion of my customers who are not online, so we're also taking orders over the phone. I am not in the shop an awful lot. I'm trying to follow the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law, which is stay in your home, even though we are encouraged to sell online and mail order and things. So I'm going to the shop maybe once or twice a week, which means I can't take many payments over the phone unless I'm at the shop. But we have this amazing setup technology where people can ring us, leave a voicemail, and I get the voicemail on my computer, on my phone, on my email. I'm just absolutely gobsmacked by it. So if I need to get back to people, I can get back to them straight away. And obviously people can do PayPal from that as well. But to be honest, people that are okay for PayPal generally are okay for using our website. So
yeah, on the internet.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So how do you think knitting is helping you during the lockdown? And how is staying creative helping you?
Yes, absolutely. Knitting and crochet, our shop is half and half, is super important. I mean, we all sort of know how important it is for your mental health, but I always think it's a little bit like planting a garden. When you start a knitting or crochet project, it's hope that you will be around for the future, you know, to actually do the thing. It's not just buying a thing and enjoying the thing. It's actually the idea of step by step making it. There is it's good for blood pressure. It's the sort of repetitive nature of it apparently is really good for blood pressure, but there's also this idea of moving across the midline is very good for moving your hands across the midline, very good for keeping your sort of brain engaged. It's good for children, for older people especially, but it's a way of keeping your brain engaged in a different way than we would, I suppose, like when you're on a computer or something, your hands stay right in front of you. But yeah, when you're knitting and crocheting and crafting, your hands move all over, so apparently that's good for you.
That's really interesting, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm also actually having spoken to a lot of my customers about this. A lot of us have mental health problems, and we have always used knitting and crochet as a sort of coping mechanism for that. But at the minute, our mental health problems, so for example, I have like horrendous anxiety, I'm used to this. This is just absolutely normal for me. So the only thing that's changed is that there is now something to be anxious about. So actually, I'm almost better than I am usually. And I do think that a lot of people that knit and crochet regularly, they do have some sort of mental illness, some sort of, I don't know, depression, anxiety, the obvious ones. But there's all sorts, schizophrenia, bipolar, all sorts, and we all use it as a coping mechanism, but I think a lot of us are doing probably better than average at the minute.
Well, yeah, I suppose it is very helpful for that. So do you think people getting into knitting could also find this useful, and do you have any tips perhaps for the beginner knitter who might want to start learning while they are at home?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I think they'll find it useful. Getting back into the sort of repetitive nature, also the idea that you, when you're learning especially, you can't think about anything else. So your mind doesn't have space to wander so much, or rather when it wanders, you'll come back because like, oh, I don't know where to put my needle in or something like that. I did a Facebook Live actually about getting new people into this. And one of the things that I sort of came up with was just like start really cheap. When you first start in, I would really recommend going into a shop and being sort of inspired by something that you love the colour of or the texture of or whatever. But we don't have that luxury at the minute. So pop onto any old website. Obviously, pop onto mine is the best. I would super recommend, if you don't want to go to mine, that you try and make sure that your website is connected to a bricks and mortar shop, because you'll get a lot more out of them. And they're the ones that are going to be paying the taxes that are paying for everything that we want at the minute, NHS and all that sort of stuff. Go to a bricks and mortar website and just order something dead cheap. Most of us have got 100 grams of acrylic for about, I don't know, between sort of 175 and 215. A couple of balls of that, some cheap needles should be about £2, something like that, or a hook, and just get going. Like, it really can't go that badly wrong. It is only sticks and string, that's all.
Yeah. We can always undo it, can't we?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So specifically, what sort of things do we need if we're going to start knitting? So we need our needles and we need our yarn. Any sizes that you think would be more helpful for a beginner?
I generally would start with either what's called double knitting and 4mm, that is hook or needle, or I'd go for chunky, which works with a 6mm. You have a little bit of room for manoeuvre, so if you have some needles already, you can say you have 7mm, you could go with chunky with that. If you're struggling and you want to match up yarn you've got with needles or a hook or hook and needles that you've got with yarn, then that is where a bricks and mortar yarn shop will really come in useful. So email them, because like at the minute, I've been speaking to some customers, like I'm desperate to help somebody. I'm really missing helping people in the shop and sort of using my brain to help people solve their problems. So we're all like ready and waiting to answer emails, and I've got like links and all sorts that I'm helping people with. So ask whoever that you're buying from, and you'll get the help from a bricks and mortar more so than you ever would a big boy.
Yeah. And so do you think there's a community of knitters and crocheters waiting if anyone wants to start? And where might we find them?
Yes, absolutely. There is a community of knitters and crocheters. I mean, like the obvious online place for me would be a website called Ravelry, ravelry.com. It's free to sign up to. You do have to sign up to it. And it's written by a married couple, Jess and Cassidy. And it's just the most incredible resource for knitters and crocheters. And a little bit weavers, a little bit spinners, indie dyes, anything that's to do with sort of yarn craft. We're so lucky to have it. Jess is a knitter, and Cassidy is a programmer, and they've just come together to create this absolutely incredible site. It's won awards. It's a lot about getting patterns, and so you could say, I want a jumper with an owl on it to fit my 3-year-old nephew, and there will be patterns for it. But they also have included the sort of social media aspect of it. So there's groups, and there's I can't think of what the word is, where you...
Forums,
there we go. Thank you kindly. Yeah. So we're so lucky to have that. No other craft has it. Like sewing doesn't have it. Beading doesn't have it. Makeup doesn't have it. Like nothing that's creative has this website. And it's all because of Cassidy and Jess and their understanding of knitters and crocheters. So get on there. I mean, there are plenty of places on Facebook as well. Honestly, I'm not part of them. I get sick and tired of people talking about how they've got bargains at Aldi and what have you in terms of wool. I just think, go to your local independent yarn shop. So I don't go on them a lot. But we do have two really great knit clubs in Nottingham. In fact, we've got more than that. There's one for the uni as well. There's Uni Arv and Nottingham Trent. Both have knit clubs, but there's one called Knitting Knots and one called Knit Happens in Nottingham, and they're both actual physical knitting groups, but with their own Facebook pages. And at the minute, they've both been really active, so people can join in and get help. But it's not just about help. Don't go to a knitting club expecting help online or in real life, but or rather expecting a lesson. But you, like, I think on the whole, knitters and crocheters tend to be fairly helpful. They want to spread the love.
Yeah. Might have some friendly faces that you can talk to.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, our last question. What are you working on at the moment? What are you knitting or crocheting?
Well, a lot.
What's your main one that you're working on?
I've just started a jumper for my husband, but it's gone a bit wrong. So then I started embroidering a lampshade, and then it hasn't gone a bit wrong, but I find embroidery quite boring. So I'm looking at a crochet jumper that I'm thinking of picking back up, because that's been on hold for a few months. I've just picked out the fabric to do, I don't know why I'm showing this because it's a radio interview, isn't it? But it's beautiful fabric to do a...
it's very nice.
It's lovely fabric to do a top. And then, as well, this morning, a customer went wrong with a thing that she'd bought online. So I said to her, and it's one of our newest patterns, so I really want to get a shop sample done anyway. So I said, I'll cast it on with you. So we're going to have a sort of like knit along with that. But I've been getting my orders at home, obviously, because I don't want to go into the shop too much. And somebody had ordered just one ball, so I had to get a full packet to get one ball. And then another, so I was going to use the rest of it to make this top. And then another customer ordered the rest of the packet, not knowing the other customer. I was amazed of all the yarn that she could have ordered. She ordered like one of the, I don't know, 30 packets I've got in the box. Anyway, I think that's really cool. So I'm going to start that today with a customer to help her along with that.
Well, thank you so much for having an interview with us. Just remind us again where we can find you. So online at Knit Nottingham.
knitnottingham.co.uk, yeah. And then we're on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Ravelry. We are on Twitter vaguely. Just anywhere where you think that we should be, we're basically there as Knit Nottingham.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If knitting doesn't take your fancy and you didn't get the chance to pop down to your local craft shop before lockdown began, don't worry. Philippa also shared with us some of her tips and tricks for creating digital art, no supplies needed.
If you're running low on art supplies or need some ideas, then don't worry. Here are some ways you can still get creative. There are lots of ways you can make art on your computer. If you have a PC, you can use the Paint program, or you can use an online program such as GIMP, Sketch.io or Clecky. If you think you will do a lot of this, it might be worth investing in a drawing tablet that can plug into your computer so you can use a pen instead of a mouse. Wacom tablets are some of the most popular and come in a range of sizes and prices. Failing all of that, you can make pixel art on Excel. I used to do this when I was younger and I was supposed to be concentrating in ICT. Just change the size of the spreadsheet cells and fill in the squares using the Fill Colour tool to make a picture. Want to make some more traditional artwork? Try drawing the flowers in your garden or practice your still life drawing by arranging some fruit on a table. It's what the old masters did, so why shouldn't we? If you need some ideas, there's loads of drawing challenges with daily prompts you can follow along with on Instagram and Pinterest. Or get your thoughts down each day and make a comic journal. Not got enough supplies? You don't need paint to get painting. Try using natural pigments such as beetroot, coffee or tea. Or try experimenting with some old makeup if you're feeling adventurous. You can also experiment and make your own tools. Old t-shirts or towels make a good sponge, and tinsel can make some beautiful marks if dragged across a page after being dipped in paint. Another way to experiment with texture is with collagraph prints. Find a variety of textured materials and stick them onto a piece of cardboard. Add a thin layer of paint, and then place the cardboard face down onto your paper, and rub the back with a spoon to transfer the print. You can arrange the textures to create an image, or add them at random for a more abstract piece. Finally, try out some printing or embroidery on a t-shirt, pair of old jeans, or a denim jacket to create some wearable art. No paper needed.
For our second interview, I spoke to my friend from home, Kate. We discussed the benefits of staying creative during such an unusual time, the best blogs and help for newbie crafters, as well as discussing her current projects. So Kate, what do you think the benefits of doing creative activities are?
I think the benefits of having a creative hobby can be completely unending and unique. For me, I find it's really good to do something physical to keep myself out of my head, that keeps my mental health well, like I'm doing something that isn't overthinking, that isn't stressing me out, that isn't making me focus on something that I don't want to be focused on. It kind of takes away that risk of your mind wandering, because you have to pay your full attention, because it's a creative activity. Like, you usually have to dedicate a lot of your time and mental energy towards doing it. So it's really, really good, I think, especially at the moment, to keep yourself thinking in a way that you want to be thinking and making. And obviously you're creating something very unique to yourself and expressionistic. So it's just a very healthy emotional process for me, I think.
And what tips and tricks would you give to anyone just beginning to get into creative hobbies?
So for getting into hobbies and creative outlets, I definitely say find inspiration. And it's not like, it can be finding stuff online, saving pictures, just watching YouTube videos of YouTubers who do whatever activity you want to. It can just be as simple as thinking about, what do I want to create and how could I make that a reality? So for me, like, going on walks and spending time thinking about, what do I want to create, what do I want out of this time spent, can be really helpful for beginners to sort of visualize what they want to be doing and how they want to achieve it. So I'd also say, like, try and find a community of people who do it. Like, find people who've been doing art or knitting or sewing for however many years or however many months, and they were taught by their grandparents, stuff like that. Find people who have the expertise to help you if you do get stuck, because some things are very, like, yeah, there might be a blanket answer, but it can be very unique to whatever project you're working on, stuff like that. So yeah, reach out, find inspiration, and just, like, find something fun to do. Like, it doesn't have to be a serious, I'm making a tailored coat. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be serious. It can just be really, like, silly and playful. So I just, have fun with it and be as creative as you want to be.
Are there any good blogs or YouTubers or online resources for beginner crafters?
I can only speak to my personal experience because there are literally hundreds of different people who have different styles of teaching and different styles of communicating, which works for different people. But for me, for sewing, I really found Tilly and the Buttons to be like a godsend. She's so beginner friendly and using styles that are very like new in trends. So you can be making stuff that you can buy if you want to. And you can be making stuff that's completely unique to you or something you've seen in the shops and you want to have a go. So she was really, really good to get started with. And she's so, her way of explaining stuff is so good. It's, yes, I 100% recommend. There's also the Great British Sewing Bee, which is like Bake Off, but for sewing. And it's, that's coming on actually in the next few weeks, I think. And that was really good for me starting to see how people were constructing different kinds of garments and different kinds of things and how different people worked within their little way of being creative. And beyond that, just look into the community, just search and find. It's really not something you can signpost your way into. Just find artists you like, find people who do crafts that you like and find inspiring, and I'm sure you'll find beginner-friendly advice from them if you ask.
Obviously, as we're unable to go to the shops, what creative projects can we still do with things from around the house?
So obviously a lot of creative projects do take a lot of resources and a lot of pre-planning and pre-buying and actually going into shops and touching and interacting with whatever mode of creativity you're using. And obviously in a time like this, it's not really ideal to be doing any of that because it's all online and it's not an in-person interaction anymore. So I'd say you most definitely will have paper and pens, like paper in the back of an envelope, anything to, especially for me, drawing is the most easy one to pick up, and you can just do 15 minutes a day. I've already noticed I'm not the best drawer, which I'm sure anyone will tell you, but I've been getting so much better just doing 15 minutes of a quick sketch of something I saw on a TV show or something that I have a photo of. So I'd say that's the easiest at home creativity you can do yourself. But I'd also say if you want to get into sewing that you probably have like a little at home fixing kit so you can get creative with, maybe you have some old clothes that have holes in them or aren't fitting quite right and or don't look quite right, and you can personalize it. I found embroidery to be really, really useful in a time like this. I have loads of thread and loads of things that I'm pretty bored with, so learning how to embroider from online YouTube tutorials has been really helpful. I've vamped up a few old bags that I don't use anymore because I think they're boring and they don't really suit me anymore. You can definitely upcycle and mend things that perhaps you just never had time or any want to fix before. I'd also say just photography, using your phone, using like online drawing tools, even just if you're able to, maybe buying different starter kits for things online, that can be really helpful if dependent on delivery and how that's working with different companies. But I'd say that that's a really good, now's a good time to start a craft that you can then work into your everyday life after. So there are loads of ways you can get creative, and I haven't even scratched the surface. So yeah, get Googling, what can I do online? What can I do at home? What can I do online? What can I do with these things? And I'm sure you'll find an infinite amount of things that you can do with what little stuff you might have at home.
For the final segment of the episode, I spoke to my friends Holly and Rebecca from Yaren, and we debated what we've learned from our first few weeks in isolation, as well as discussing what we won't ever take for granted again once lockdown is over. I'm joined today by Rebecca and Holly. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey.
So the first question I want to ask you is, what have you learned from, we've now had 2 weeks in isolation, what would you say you've learned from that? If we start with Rebecca?
I think I've learned that
there's a lot of stuff that you can do online. Like there are a lot of ways you can connect both with your friends and also like with keeping kind of online classes going. I've kind of learnt that people can stay inside most of the time. Like, I mean, I know people are still kind of breaking the rules, but I somehow would expect it to be more so the first couple of weeks. Like, there were quite a few people still breaking the rules because I live next to a park and I could hear like kids playing in it, but that's been silent now for like the past 2 weeks. So I suppose I've been quite impressed by people's ability to kind of listen to rules when they need to.
And what about you, Holly?
I think I've learned a lot about sort of myself and my friends by how we've all reacted to this and what you can see on social media. I personally have found that it hasn't really impacted my life too much, which I think is quite worrying. I think it's a really interesting thing to see how people are reacting and how people are coming together, like especially with all the sort of clapping for the NHS, to see the country so united after years of division with Brexit and everything. I think it's a really lovely thing to see.
No, I definitely agree. I think we've seen a lot of people come together and perhaps more of like a community idea.
I think a lot of communities, if they've got sort of older members of the community who don't necessarily have family around, I know that like my nan, she lives quite far away. She lives close to my auntie, but not to us. And so we can't really take stuff. And she really wanted to get her hair done at the salon. Like, she was due to get her hair done. And the woman who worked at the salon dropped, like, a home kit off for her and stuff like that. So I think, I mean, she does live in a little village where everyone knows everyone. But I think it's the sort of, you know, everyone's pitching in to help. And I think that's a really lovely thing.
I asked you yesterday to think about what you won't take for granted again once we get out of this isolation period.
Okay, well, my thing is visiting the supermarket, because I actually really like visiting. Ooh. It's really sad, but I often go shopping for my mum, and I really like going to the supermarket because it's kind of like it's like a small trip. Like, it doesn't require like a lot of planning, and just yeah. I was gonna pick either that or like seeing your friends, but I don't know. What have you got, Holly?
Mine was kind of similar. It kind of started with seeing friends and family, but I think that's kind of a given for everyone. So yeah. I was going along the same lines as you, of sort of little things that you don't even realise that you're doing, that you kind of want to do. Like, to be fair, mine was similar to going to the supermarket, not as like a whole trip, but if you're just sat and like, there's been so many times recently where I've been sat and gone, oh, I wish I had some chocolate in. And like, I can't just walk to the shop and get some chocolate because A, you're in a queue for 2 hours. It's a non-essential item. So I think it's just like the little things in life that everyone's sort of had to put on hold. So just, you know, knocking on a friend's house or like ringing someone up and being like, oh, do you want to go to this place over the weekend? Stuff like that. Everyone's lives are sort of frozen.
I think one of the things I thought of as being something I won't take for granted again is a Greg's vegan sausage roll. Really fancy one, and I can't have one. I think that's something I've found, is there's alternatives to like eating out, obviously, and you can try and make a at-home replica, but it's just not the same.
It's hand sanitizer. not hand sanitizer specifically, I mean like being able to just buy like hand soap. You didn't realize, like, it was never like a thing that was difficult before. Now it's like a fight. It was just unnecessary. food wise, I kind of miss one thing that we like. I kind of miss sweet potatoes for some reason in my local area. Sweet potatoes are not easy to get hold of. I miss them.
Sweet potato fries are elite.
I guess it's something that we haven't noticed yet, but will we be able to get like a lot of fruit and stuff over the summer? So if there's like fruit that's not being grown here, are we going to be able to fly it in?
I don't know. I read something that was about how a lot of apples on the shelves in the supermarket can be there for up to a year because they're like coated in a wax layer. You know why they feel a bit weird before they're washed? So I think we've probably got a fair amount stocked up.
You think we're good on the fruit front?
I think they said something about having to hire volunteers to get some of the fruit that like is here. So possibly if it's like, I imagine it would be at least more expensive. I think it would be harder to get hold of stuff. I mean, it depends, like, if they do eventually allow flights for, like, supplies over. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think, like, normal, like, stuff that we can kind of, fruit that we can grow here will be, should be all right, like strawberries and, like, raspberries and apples and things.
Should I bring the tone down with the food I'm gonna miss? Mackies. Yeah, because the thing is, I don't even eat that much McDonald's. It's just what I associate with McDonald's. Like, I remember saying, I think that, like, I don't remember the last time I had McDonald's in the day. Like, McDonald's for me is like a 3 a.m. staple. So I think I kind of associate, like, I miss McDonald's because I miss spending time with my friends, and, like, I miss McDonald's because I miss the sort of associations that I have with McDonald's, of, like, going out and spending time with friends. And
so, final question, rounding all this off, what's the first thing you're gonna do when we are allowed out of isolation?
I think I'll probably go, and I'd really like to go and see my friend, because it's really frustrating being, like, everyone's at home and not being able to actually go out and see your friends. Like, yeah. I'm like a half an hour drive away from my friend, and I can't see her because we're all at home isolating.
Yeah, I did quite a sneaky thing earlier. I went on my state-sanctioned run because my cough's gone, so it's like the first day I've been allowed to go for my run. And I live a 15-minute walk away from one of my best friends, so I ran to her house and stood at the end of her drive for like 15 minutes while we had a chat on the phone, and she was inside and we talked through the window. And it was lovely. We had a catch-up and then I ran home.
Sadly, that's all we've got time for the first ever episode of the Positive Place podcast. I hope you've been inspired to try something new. Maybe dig out that old paint set from the garage or upcycle the clothes you no longer wear. Thanks to this week's guests, Eleanor from Knit Nottingham and URN members Philippa, Rebecca and Holly. Don't forget to join us next week when we'll be discussing how to make the most of our time outdoors with tips and tricks for beginner gardeners. But until then, have a lovely week.